Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode. It's another week of nonsense, and in world news, not much has happened in the K-pop sphere from what I'm remembering. However, in the West, we've had some interesting celebrity deaths, and the first that really stands up, because I mean it was the most recent, the funniest ones really are the two racists that we lost day after day. I was like, hold up. Ozzy Osbourne, who sadly really was initially Black Sabbath was all about anti-establishment and all this nonsense, and then he just died a Zionist. It's like, how did we get here? And then we also had Hulk Hogan die, and that was hilarious because he was a trumpet right to the end, a trumpy I should say. So I didn't shed any tears, and I do believe in, just because someone's passed away doesn't make their wrongdoings okay. Like, I hate when people do that. Someone dies and suddenly everyone's like, no, rise above it. No, I'm not rise above it. I'm not rising above shit. I'm going below it, actually. So that was that. And then on the not bad people side, we had Malcolm Jamal Warner from The Cosby Show, the actor. He always seemed sweet in all the things I saw him in. So that was sad and came with a bit of surprise. He died from accidental drowning. And then in the K-pop sphere, to be honest, things have been, I mean, there's been developments in some of, I think, NewJeans' lawsuit, as well as Bang PD's hype. The police went there, apparently. But I feel like they say these things and then nothing happens. So I don't know. Let's wait and see any further updates. We also heard more from Seunghan's song, Heavenly Blue. It's been on repeat. So proud of him, so proud of how it looks, so proud of him and the lyrics that he wrote for it and the choreo that he made for it is the right sound. A few people said it gives Troye Sivan a little bit, and I hear it. It does have that vibe. So I'm very much looking forward to the 31st. It's just around the corner now. He seems so confident, and it's so exciting to see him being treated properly as an artist. It's going to be on music shows and stuff. So let's go. And then Hearts to Hearts, Shock Horror released a dance practice for G, which I reacted to yesterday. Or was that today? Can't remember. One of these days, no, it was yesterday. And I was so happy. They have genuinely changed my life. Also, no, I won't tell you that. I won't tell you that yet. Yes, other than that, that's pretty much all the news that I can think of. However, yeah, we'll get on today's topic, which is nostalgia is beating you lot. It is beating you lot up. And I've been inspired by this because of, I mean, general consensus about how people feel about K-pop and generations changing. I do get irritated sometimes. And I'm going to try to uncover some of the reasons why people have these opinions and feel this way. And we did talk about it briefly on Discord. And this episode is not targeted at the person I was talking to. I understood their point of view. This more is just the fact that they're not the first and won't be the last to say things like, oh, I'm not interested, I can't find anything I'm interested in K-pop anymore, nothing is standing out, no one is singing live, and all these things. And I can get why, when you've been in K-pop for a long time, your effort into finding new things can absolutely get harder and harder. But that's not to say you can then be sure there's nothing out there for you, because if you look, there's always things that you will like. So I'm gonna lay out some pros and cons for, I'll just compare fifth generation with second and third and look at what we've gained, what we've lost, and sort of see where we stand from there. Because you might be surprised to realize there's not much that has really changed. There's not much that we've lost. It's just hindsight is 2020. And once again, nostalgia can absolutely make you look back in, I think there's a scientific study actually that said how when you look back, you see things in a very colorful, bright kind of, you see the beauty in everything. Meanwhile, whilst you were there, you didn't. So I'm trying to help people be aware of the fact that there's so much beauty around you all the time. You have to make a conscious effort to find it. It might get harder to find it, but the beauty is there. Because if you stay living in the past, you'll never enjoy the present. And I'm the right person to say this because, girl, I love me some nostalgia. Anyone who's known my channel long enough should know my favorite decade of music is the 80s. I'm into looking back. Like, if I want to feel good, I will listen to Deborah. I was going to say Deborah Cox there. No. She's in the 90s. How did you get here? Nobody's supposed to be here. No. Debbie Gibson. Love only in my dreams, as real as it may seem, it was only in my dreams. That song makes me feel so good. And I actually know of it because of Mariah. Mariah was like, she heard that song and she loved it so much in the 80s. And I was like, oh, let me listen to the song. Such a feel-good song. Or like Tiffany, I Think We're Alone Now. Or Fleetwood Mac, or Bee Gees, or Earth, Wind & Fire. Like the 80s, even the 70s, you wouldn't, but the 80s is where, for me, it's like, if I could go back in time and be white, because I'm not going back there, and be black, I would have such a fun time in, I can imagine Soho in the 80s, the colors, the this. But once again, this also applies. Hindsight is 2020. If I go back to the 80s, being aware of the privileges and the access that I have now in terms of the types of food we have access to, the safety, how you can sort of Uber yourself home, Lime bike, all these little things that we take for granted now. If we go back to these spaces that we glorify, you'd be surprised to think, oh, actually, or to realize that, this is way more fun in memory. In actuality, it's different. So I think this also applies to music. Second gen has hit its pluses. It has some amazingly iconic artists. And another thing as well, because of the rise of the internet, which is can also make this topic very convoluted, things do not happen the same way they used to anymore. And I mean that in terms of the level of access we have to media has made media feel less valuable. When we were growing up in the 90s or whatever, when you'd watch TV, you'd be excited because you're waiting for your music video to come up on TV. Before that, hell, people had to wait on the radio or request songs on the radio to hear this music. So then by then, these artists felt so much bigger and they felt so much more grand and they felt so alluring. And that magic is absolutely gone now. Most of it is gone because anyone can now become a celebrity overnight. Many people who do subpar music and they're mumbling or they're rapping about mind-numbingly meaningless shit, they can be a rap, pop, whatever. They could be an artist, a big star. A week later, you've got a world full of Central C's and a world full of, what's that girl that talks about doo-doo all the time? What's her name with the curly hair? Her. Not her, but the one, that one. You've got a world full of artists like that. What makes things iconic is a lot harder now. So be easy on these newer artists who it's not their fault that in the time that we're in, we are seeing them on Instagram, we're seeing them on TikTok, we're seeing them on Twitter, we're seeing them on YouTube Lives, we're seeing them, like, it's everything, it's constant. So that's why we don't go, oh my God, they're so iconic, what an icon. Because also you can't really recognize, it's hard to recognize an icon whilst they're still active. You only recognize it in retrospect as well, something for people to remember. So it is natural to not experience celebrity or experience artists the same way. But second gen, yes, was known for that. It also felt, looking back, that you had more mature concepts in terms of the female artists like Nine Muses or Wonder Girls or Sister, Girls' Generation were all about these high heels. But then at the time, I'm sure people were saying, why these young ladies always have to wear heels? It's not comfortable for them. Why are we sexualizing them? There you go. But now many people are asking for that to come back. So I'm like, oh, you want their ankles to be in pain then? that is your goal. That's what will make you feel good. So there are some pros there. I think one of the greatest things, which we're kind of losing now, is that second gen was great with lore and identity and storylines. I think as someone who's not really deep in that, I'm sure many of you can tell me, every group felt like they had a story. Even how EXO came about with the different planets. They came from the EXO planet. Everyone's got superpowers. But let's be real, that is also a sign of the times. I'll touch on this later on with the pros for things in the fifth gen or whatever. But at that time, those things were trendy. And once again, the internet was new and everything was so loud. Oh, and you actually, you lot should know how much I hate that era in music. Anywhere from 2008 to 2013, I don't think anything good came out of that era. Of course, that's hyperbole. Be serious. There's so many iconic things that came out there. But overall, we went to the most. I even sent a TikTok and Discord of the top 10 charts in 2011, I think it was, or 2012 in the UK. The songs on that list triggered me so much. It literally was like, this is my 14th reason. Those sounds and those things, once again, it shows that. Also, another thing it shows is that people complaining that, oh my god, fifth gen all sounds the same. All the songs on that list sounded the same. And because of, once again, nostalgia and hindsight, you feel as though second gen was so different and it was so unique and everything. No, girl. Back then, EDM, and I distinctly remember, even just in the Western sound, everyone was sounding the same. And you had people like Usher, R&B legends, doing "Baby Tonight, the DJ's got us falling in love again." And I was like, wait, what's going on here? And then you had, because mind you, Lady Gaga's launch, propelled EDM and dance music. And to be honest, Madonna's always done it, because with Hung Up was in 2006, I think, Confessions, the album. So that's always kind of been there, but that's more dance. But this specific EDM Black Eyed Peas sound, that was everywhere. And in K-pop fashion, they are a reflection of what's happening in the West sonically. So at that time, everyone was doing EDM to varying degrees. So that was a little bit like, oh, here we go. But I will say, although the sound was the same, everyone's voices were a lot different. But once again, that's kind of things that evolve as well. Back then, you could hear people's tones a lot better. I would definitely give you up for that one, baby. Then you could hear the difference between Taeyeon, you can hear the difference between Soyeon and Tiffany, and who are the other groups? And then with SHINee, every single member sounds so different in a way that you feel like that happens with Western groups. To anyone, everyone sounded different and you had really unique tones. And what I do like as well is that, and I think about this with EXO all the time, whenever I see a clip of D.O. singing, I wonder if he tried to debut now and he was 20 or he was 18, would he have debuted? Because he's a short guy, he's got a bit of a hunchback, but he's a cutie though, he's so adorable and his voice is massive. Could he have debuted now? Probably not. And that's so sad. And that's one thing, another great point about things back then, you had unconventional, what they feel unconventional now, because now the standard is everyone looks very similar and lacks anything that's really super unique. But you had him and you wouldn't have that now, and you'd have lost out in his voice because his voice would be deemed too mature or too old school sounding. Or even when you look at a group like 17 wouldn't happen now. 13 boys, crazy. But also the fact you've got Uzi, who is so short, next to Mingyu, who's so tall, and they look so different. Or you have Minghao, who's different as well, S-Coops, Joshua, it's such a mix, you don't get that anymore. So those are some pluses and things I do miss for sure. But there was also the musical production levels naturally at that time. If you go listen to that music, it reflects the time. I don't know what was going on, but I'm glad they've caught up now, because you couldn't catch me listening to the majority of the music from that decade, not just for the genre alone, but the production levels were just not there. And also, I don't feel like there was a large range of genres as we experience now that I'm glad things have, you know, progressed, but in some ways you lose a lot of those uniqueness. So now those are some of the pros for second gen and the things that definitely stood out. And even on top of that, live vocals, which I know a lot of people go on about with the newer generations. But I would like to present this. And watch, I want you lot to go back and actually watch some of those performances with, try to be as unbiased as possible. Did they sound good? Some of them did, I would say. But as someone who's loved Girls' Generation, you lot should know, I love Girls' Generation. When I go back and watch some of those performances, I'm like, I think you could have lipped this and I would have been perfectly happy. I am yet to find a performance where Taeyeon sounds comfortable belting those notes in the outro. She either is pushing or she's a little bit under the note or is just lacking that finesse and freedom. And I never understood why. And this is why I've always said she's a mezzo soprano. Every now and then you get like, I think Into the New World is one of the best ones where she does do that note beautifully. But if you're looking at Genie or The Boys or whatever, or actually even, I guess the Roz Holler or Twinkle era, she did start to mix her head voice a little bit more. But it never felt as though we're achieving something great because you're singing live as opposed to what we'd have achieved if you just didn't sing live. And to me, that's not good enough. I think if you're going to sing live, you better blow the original out of the water. And to me, that rarely happened. Just because you're singing live doesn't mean it's just as great. I would rather you don't sing live, focus on the performance and give me a great performance than me see the stress on your face of you working for this note. And most of the times it's not as polished or as powerful, as impactful as it is on the original. So what are we really gaining for needing these idols to be like, oh, they're not singing live anymore? Do we want them to? But you know, you look and leave a comment in the Spotify to let me know any performances I've missed and I'll be the judge. I will reply. You lot can see I engaged you pretty much all the comments that I like. I'm joking, not to engage. So let me know in case I've missed some that I don't know. I will happily check them out. Now, some of the pros, now obviously a lot of the pros for fifth gen and on, for let's say fourth gen and onwards, are very similar, are basically the opposites of everything I just pointed out. One, the performances, the choreo has improved a lot. Now, back in those days, people always used to complain that girl group choreo and even how girl groups used to sing was a bit more, it felt, people would complain that K-pop is very whiny and the girls are very cutesy and singing up there. A lot of that is gone now. A lot of the girls now will be rapping or they're singing a bit lower. Like you have groups like Meow who have this thing, or NMIX, they sing in a way that's not so cute all the time. So you've gained that. And also their choreo has also changed a lot. A lot of the choreo is now just as difficult or can be just as difficult or commercial as what the boys are doing. If you look at If I, Are You Okay, their choreo was made by a guy. I just saw his demo on TikTok the other day. And that choreo is almost like a boy group. I said it in my reaction, their arms and everything. So we've gained a lot of, what would you say, progress for the girl groups in a way that we didn't have in the past. And that's something to remember as well. And for the boys, we've also, to be honest, the boys, have they really changed much? I feel like boy groups have always had the same freedoms now. From what I remember, like, it's like the choreo's always been challenging. They've always been able to sing. They've always had access to a variety of genres. So in that essence, not as much. You can definitely probably measure progress more by measuring how far girl groups have come. So I will say that. And then genre-wise, yes, there's genres now, and it's a good and bad thing, because now, because of the internet, the world is so accessible that you can have a producer from South Korea speak to a producer in South Africa, and then cross-reference with a producer in Sweden, and everything can be diluted now, which is good for expanding sounds, but also bad because everyone can end up having access to everyone. So then the individuality charm or individual charm you would get from an area because it's not influenced by anything else will be kind of lost, and we'll pick up things from everyone else. Hence why internet humor is all the same, and I don't like it. Everyone makes the same jokes, same references, because we're all on the same TikTok. So it's a plus and minus, but with what I love about K-pop, you're still getting variety. You still have sounds that are so varied. So we've definitely gained that. And once again, just because something is new doesn't mean it's worse. It's just new. And fifth gen, it's not fifth gen's fault that it is a reflection of the times. It is what it is, and it's going to keep evolving and change again. And I don't deny that some of you probably will. You may not be feeling it now, but you may be back later, or you might not. This might be your natural exit out of the genre, which is also fair. And we've also gained, when it comes to gender expression, although it's kind of been, I mean, we had, is it Kwon Jo from 2AM? Who used to, you know, he would be wearing heels and stuff. And to be honest, back then, cross-dressing was so popular with male idols. Like Minho did it, and Taehyung did it, Taemin. And they would cover girl group songs. Although some of it felt a little bit mocking for me, but whatever. I think, because I wouldn't say it did much for women's rights in Korea. But, you know, you can also have fun. Not everything has to have a meaning to it. But it, for me, it still does feel political. But when it comes to actual progress, we've got groups like, I think Zero Base One have been very, even the jokes they make have been very open in their identities, or at least they don't feel like they have to perform this hyper-masculinity thing. And then you have groups like X-Love. For, I would say, two at least are visibly queer, or at least comfortable in that. And they're doing so well. And it's like, wow, we wouldn't have gotten this. Well, we may have, but I don't know. The level of fame and of success they're reaching is also refreshing and something that feels very unique to fifth gen. And speaking on that, the variety of groups, this is why I get fascinated when people say, oh, I can't find anything that... I'm like, have you looked? The variety of groups almost drives me wild. We have Kyrus, who just debuted with a song that has like a country influence. And those girls can sing. Blew me away. X-Love. There you go. Super queer, unique music, insane choreo. And I think we heard the vocals of one of the members, I think. Great vocals. You have Kiki. They came out with a cute song. Then the next song was like New Jeans, but also a bit housey. Not housey, but... just a hit, drum and bass, you could say. Of course, Hearts to Hearts, they've bring back a little bit of the second gen or whatever. I've mentioned Meow. You have All Day Project, for the first co-ed group in how long? Then you're going to have, and then you have Seunghan debuting with two dancers. That's also a new concept. The concepts have also, we have new things that are coming now. Now, on the vocal aspects, we've not had a vocal group. I mean, they tried. They tried with Build Up. And that group was a flop, BDU. But once again, that's not really our fault. The music was whack. Oh, the music was whack. I wish they tried a little bit harder to give them good music. But the variety is there. And if not that, you also have Extraordinary Heroes. You've got the bands. You've got Dragon Pony, who just debuted. And they've got the amazing vocalist, who I love, and Tae Gyu. You also it's crazy. You had Lucembo, who are gone now. You've Artemis. Eve's solo, Jaehyun's solo. There's so much music. Okay, they are obviously, some of them debuted a long time ago, but as soloists, they debuted in the fifth generation. There's so much out there. I'm amazed that for a lot of people, they're like, oh, K-pop is so boring now. Is it? Is it just because you wanted, and this is where you have to be honest about, what are your motivations for enjoying it? Did you like just the bright colors and the metallic and the over-the-top costumes? Because I get that too, because that was part of the campiness of it. But I think you have to look at K-pop as similar to how Lady Gaga's also progressed. She's not really doing that anymore. Abracadabra was the most she's done in that essence, but even that was different. It wasn't so crazy in terms of the colors. It did remind me of Alejandro though, so it's not that different. But she went through also her phase of stripped back and doing Joanne and girl, where do you think you're going? She did all that. So you can, you know, see how things evolve. And maybe in the future, oh my God, how can I forget Close Your Eyes? What an amazing debut. Oh, and I did another great debut. So much great music. But yes, you can look at how things have evolved, and maybe K-pop will go back to that in the future and be really dramatic again. But once again, the reflection of the times, if you notice, and people have spoken about this, a lot of logos for fashion brands all look the same now. A lot of logos for cars all look the same. Our shops, our everywhere you look, where everything is becoming a lot more monochromatic. And what's the other word? The word that Kim K loves. A lot of nudes and a very muted. That's just where we're headed. We're not into bright colors and things that are over the top, or people doing all of this, because that's just not trendy anymore. People don't find it cool. They find it corny if you try to make too much of an effort. So K-pop definitely reflects that, and that's why Fifth Gen is how it is. Now, I do really wish that we still had or could hear different vocal tones, or we had a lot more warmer vocal tones like we used to. But unfortunately, everyone now has like dreamy vocal and all that, and they don't really sound like they want to make an effort. They're not really trying super hard, and you've got the dreamy production. But like I said, this is nothing new. This is nothing unique to this generation. I think if you're frustrated by this generation, that is fair. But you have to be aware that you cannot then say it's not like how it used to be, because back in those days, they had their own issues that you are now disregarding because of nostalgia. The options are here. There's still a number of great vocalists from the fourth and fifth generation, from 80s members, like I said, or NMIX, or Clan of Life, or Meow, or even Baby Monster. But Baby Monster will be singing live as well. You have Billy. Oh my God, Billy is a group full of singers. They are all singers, and they sound so good, and the music is so quirky and different. You cannot disregard this present just because of nostalgia. Maybe also take responsibility for your own joy. You can't expect joy to keep finding you. Like I said earlier, joy, it takes work to be happy as well. You have to really try to make an effort to, like I said, discover new music. And I've always been, but also, and I understand it comes naturally to others more than others. But for me, I've always found it very easy, and I've got this burning, endless pit of excitement to discover new music. So K-pop for me was meant to be, because they put out so much content and there's so much to be discovered, and they're always experimenting. It's the most perfect marriage for me. Whereas for other people, maybe you're waiting for things to blow you away, but you're going to be waiting a long time. Or instead of complaining about it, are you going to try and make an effort to discover something new? Because you might go, oh, actually, wait, here you go. And also, if it's not in you, just be like, yeah, I'm going to take a break. I don't think I'm feeling anymore. And go and find inspiration elsewhere. That is so fair. But my feeling is, we're having a party over here, and you come over like a bad smell, and you're like, oh, nothing feels good anymore. No, let's not do that. We're having a good time over here. We have Cat's Eye. That also reminded me how people with Gnarly, and we're yet to hear them really sing live, but we know those girls can sing as well. Like, the range that we have in this generation is the best we've ever had it. And I didn't really even get to go into detail about why I love Fifth Gen so much, because I'm having the time of my life. But you can pick up why. The music is there. Hopefully more vocals will come. But I think even the vocals, we still do have vocals. They just haven't been given the music to show it as of yet. But I'm sure it's going to come. I'm sure it's going to come for the most of the groups that I mentioned. So that is it. And I will see you lot next time. Or speak to you all next time, I should say. Ciao.